The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Hi, this is Chris Skidmore from the North Carolina Reading Service, formerly known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service, and this is Tech Tips. Coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips, YouTube accessibility, the Anora Smart Glove, and which of those food delivery apps is the most accessible. That's what's coming up on this month's episode of Tech Tips. Let's talk YouTube accessibility. This article comes to us courtesy of the Access World magazine, and it is written by Bill Holton. Access World authors strive to stay current and keep our accessibility skills sharp, but we don't know everything. That's why we're launching the AW Asks the Expert series, where we go to those in the know to get you, our readers, the inside track on accessibility and tech. Though we can't offer tech support to individuals, we do welcome your general accessibility questions for and feedback on these series. This article was prompted by a reader question that can be paraphrased as, "What's up with YouTube? Why is the website so complicated and difficult to use with a screen reader?" To help answer these questions, we consulted with Huyen Tache, Program Manager for YouTube Accessibility. We covered YouTube in general and its layout and some of its most perplexing features. Toward the end of this article, you'll find some resources that may make your YouTube video watching more accessible. Yes, the YouTube web page can be very complex and confusing to users of access technologies, Tache agrees. There is a tremendous variety of selections to be presented and considerable functionality to explore and use. A quick site tour reveals that the top of each page includes a navigation bar with a skip navigation button and search region. Various functions such as create video or post and YouTube apps and commands such as screen messages, settings, and sign in are also at the top of each page. After that, the web interface splits into either two or three columns, depending on whether you're on the home page, a search results page where you see the results of a search you've requested, or a watch page where you actually watch videos. The left navigation will either be shown or hidden via the guide toggle button. Although it is displayed as selected by default, the guide provides a list of links that are marked as heading level 3 to take you to the home trending or the list of trending videos, your library, which includes all your playlists, and various other quick links. The rest of the page is a series of video thumbnails, unless you're on the watch page where the layout is different. You can usually reach the first video with just a few taps of your screen reader's heading quick nav key. But of course, things may change. Google is known for adjusting its interface on a regular basis. What you will find and where depends on whether or not you are signed in. If you do not have a Gmail account or if you haven't signed in, the first level 2 heading will offer up a collection of trending videos. These are videos that have proven popular over the past many hours and days. Each video is denoted by a level 3 heading, so it's easy to go from one to the next. Recommended videos are found at the next level 2 heading and recently uploaded at the next. Once you have signed in with your Gmail account, your homepage results will look much different. We use your search history and watch history to give us a better sense of what videos you would like to see on your homepage, says Tajay. You may also find various offers to subscribe to, special interest channels, dynamic collections of videos grouped by the producer, topic, or theme that you might be interested in subscribing to and receiving notifications for. There is almost always a not interested button, which will make these recommendations disappear, at least for a time. And now we'll take a look at the YouTube video player. After many years of Flash, the YouTube player now runs entirely on HTML5. Begin any video by pressing Enter or Spacebar on the title and the player will auto-load and begin video playback. YouTube often inserts an ad before the beginning of the video. You can often skip this ad after a few seconds. It can be tricky to find the skip button while the video is still playing, but a couple of presses of the Tab and Shift plus Tab keys will often navigate your screen reader to this button. Tajay reports that Google is actively looking for a more accessible way to notify screen reader users when an ad can be skipped and then help to skip it. YouTube incorporates many keyboard shortcuts, most of which use either a single character or the Shift modified key, such as M to mute and unmute, and Shift N for next video. Your screen reader will doubtless interfere with some of these commands, so be sure to use your bypass key before pressing greater than to speed up the video playback or J to skip ahead 10 seconds. For JAWS, the bypass key is JAWS plus 3, for NVDA, it's NVDA plus F2, and for Narrator, it's Narrator plus 3. Unfortunately, YouTube does not currently support application-reserved keystrokes, which perform an auto-bypass of certain single-key web shortcuts. For a complete YouTube web player keyboard command list, this list can be accessed anytime on YouTube by activating the Settings menu and then Keyboard Commands or by simply pressing the question mark. As you tap through the YouTube player, you will find many options besides play and pause, including share, like and dislike this video, and next and previous video. There is also a seek slider for volume. YouTube channels. As we mentioned earlier, once you have signed into YouTube and begun watching videos, you will be asked if you wish to subscribe to various channels. Channels are collections of videos assembled by a YouTube user. They may contain all of the user's own videos, such as the Microsoft channel, or a user may assemble a curated list of third-party videos, such as the Humor of George Carlin or Funny Pet videos. Once you click on a channel, you're presented with the various videos that have been collected there. You can watch them in any order and you can subscribe to the channel to make it easier to summon the next time you use YouTube. Want a good channel that matches your interests? Start at the YouTube channel official site where you can search for and subscribe to channels. If you search for the term audio description along with videos about audio description, you will also find a list of YouTube videos that have been described by the producer of that video. Currently, YouTube does not have a way to add audio description in a secondary language channel. YouTube playlists. Playlists are your own collections of videos that you want to watch now or save for later. Perhaps you'd like to make a collection of your favorite music videos and then play them one after the other automatically. You can make a playlist to do so. You may also find videos on other websites with the offer to watch later. These videos are saved into a special Watch Later playlist on YouTube. Videos in the Liked Videos playlist are just that, videos where you have clicked the Like button. How screen reader accessible these and other YouTube features are may vary depending on which browser you are using. Naturally, Tajay recommends Chrome both for PCs and Macs. For Chrome OS users, it's the default. Other browsers such as Safari, Firefox, Edge, and IE may have issues with this or that feature. Getting YouTube accessibility help and offering it. Google offers a central help center for all accessibility and a disability support team, where you can get help with various products, including YouTube, via either email or chat sessions. I used the service when I could not figure how to retrieve a list of additional videos when I subscribed to a channel. The tech was friendly and followed up with pertinent questions. After several chat exchanges and a few emails, they used the screen reader I myself used to figure out the solution. According to Tajay, one of the hurdles implementing better accessibility is a paucity of feedback from our users. Did you know you can become an accessibility trusted tester and offer your feedback and suggestions on new and updated Google products? Or sign up to participate in Google accessibility studies as a potential subject for a future Google research study? A little extra access. Resources for using YouTube with a screen reader. JAWS users may be interested in downloading and installing a free set of YouTube scripts produced by Doug Lee. Use these scripts to help skip ads, check remaining time, mute a video, and other commands that aren't easily accessible. Another way to watch YouTube videos more accessibly is to visit and bookmark the YouTube Accessible YouTube site from Povidi, and that is spelled P-O-V-I-D-I. You can also go to the Povidi homepage and search for the Accessible YouTube link. Be warned, visiting YourTube.com directly will lead you to a different site that makes extensive use of pop-ups. YourTube creates an accessible skin for the YouTube platform. All of its controls are accessible. It achieves near-complete YouTube accessibility using headings, links, buttons, combo boxes, and slider controls. The only control missing from the site is the button to skip ads, but you won't need it. The site does an excellent job of removing nearly all of them for you. Note: I found it easier to use the JAWS Control Plus F, or the Find command, to locate the channel name and the Home tab of the channel, and the down arrow or Control Plus right arrow key to move from there to the Videos tab. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. This article comes to us courtesy of Forbes.com. It's entitled, Anora, the Smart Glove, Helping the Blind. It's written by Rebecca Bonovic. Nikola Krestic, a graduate from the Electrical Engineering School in Belgrade, has created a smart glove prototype called Anora that helps the blind and visually impaired move unaided without a service dog or white cane. The glove is equipped with ultrasonic sensors that explore the surroundings. It provides vibro-tactile feedback on the position of the closest obstacles in range and lets users know by a vibrating motor and voice app. The Anora Smart Glove has many different functions. Spatial orientation. The user will be able to detect the distance from objects through the use of haptic technology in the glove. Color recognition. Through a click of a button, the glove will be able to say aloud the color of the object the user has in their glove. Detection of light intensity. The user can be told whether they are in a room present with light, and at the same time whether that light is natural or artificial. Panic button. If the user is lost, through a combination of buttons, the glove will be able to send the location via text message to a guardian or friend, whose contact details are stored in the app connected to the glove. Recognition of money. One of the most sought-after functions, the glove is able to say the value of the notes and change the user holds in their hand. The glove also has a small camera installed, which provides information on the emotions of the person the user is talking to. Most recently, Mr. Krestic has signed a cooperation contract, which will enable further development, along with promotion and implementation of the Anora Smart Glove domestically in Serbia. EZTEC and the Alliance of the Blind Serbia signed a cooperation agreement on the 10th of April. This signed agreement means a collaboration that will result in a large number of blind people being able to try the innovative product. The contract was signed at the Science Technology Park in Belgrade by Nikola Krstic and Milan Stazic, the president of Alliance of the Blind. According to the World Health Organization, WHO, it is globally estimated that 1.3 billion people live with some form of distance or near vision impairment. Approximately 36 million people are blind, 188.5 million have mild vision impairments, while 217 million have moderate to severe vision impairments. Thus far, the Anora Smart Glove has been tested on 30 blind individuals in Serbia, and the reception has been positive. Generally, all the functions of the glove are of use to the blind. They say they like it. Also, they have not had the opportunity to use a device such as this before, says Mr. Krstic. Of course, alongside the positive reviews, there are objections and suggestions as to which functions need to be added, changed, and how. But all of this is extremely useful information to us because we are going to make a device that is tailored to their needs. There has been research and exploration into a smart glove for the blind, but many of them are a single-use function. Anora is the first multifunctional smart glove. Last year, the Anora Smart Glove was the winner of Sarajevo Unlimited, the largest regional forum for innovation, entrepreneurship, and technology in the region of Southeastern Europe. However, Mr. Krstic is positive and would like to see the Anora Smart Glove develop and expand beyond Serbia and the Balkans. Over the next few months, we will be focusing on the development of the final version of the Smart Glove. We will focus on three elements: material selection, glove design, manufacturer of electronics, and software. Once we have finished with those three elements, we will have an almost finished product that will go through a final round of testing. If the final product is adequate, we will finally be ready to come out on the market. You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. This article comes to us courtesy of Access World Magazine, and it's called The Hunger Pains, a review of DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, and Uber food delivery apps. It's written by J.J. Madow. It's 9 o'clock, and you've been way too busy to even think about dinner. Now you're starving and just want to get some food as quickly as possible. In the past, this situation may have led to ordering a pizza or some subpar Chinese food, often the only options available for delivery. But this is 2019, and an expanding category of food delivery apps has emerged to offer just about any food imaginable delivered within the hour. In an attempt to help solve this question of what's for dinner, I undertook the terribly onerous task of ordering lots of food in order to research this article. It's a hard job, but someone had to do it. In order to find out who was the best at delivering the bacon, I focused on four of the most popular meal delivery apps and services, each of which allows you to order from a variety of restaurants: DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, and Uber Eats. These apps are some of the largest players in the restaurant delivery space and also have the most nationwide coverage. Even if your favorite isn't covered here, many of the tips and recommendations in this article will also apply to other food and restaurant delivery apps. The basics. Food delivery apps operate under a basic premise. You use an app or a website to browse a restaurant menu and choose the items you like. After you place your order, it's relayed to the restaurant. The restaurant prepares your order while a driver is dispatched to pick up your food. The effectiveness of this approach varies widely, and the results can range from receiving your items within 15 to 20 minutes to finding out a half hour later that the restaurant no longer carries the item you ordered. The sign-up process for each of the sites is quite simple and involves providing your phone number or email address along with some basic information, such as your delivery address and any special instructions for finding your place. Payment information is collected when you order and can be saved for future meals. Each of these apps will offer some sort of bonus for signing up, such as a free delivery or a few bucks off your first order. If you have a friend who has ordered from a service before, ask them to send you an invitation, and then both of you can save a few dollars on your next meal. As you will see below, it's advantageous to use multiple services if you are going to regularly order delivery, as pricing and promotions will vary from week to week. If you've never ordered food using an app before, the process is very similar to online shopping, with your items being added to a cart as you browse. Restaurants are usually listed by category or feature, or may be suggested based on your prior orders. Most services will show you the delivery fee up front, with places that are closer to you featuring a lower fee. Not all restaurants are available on all services. For example, Uber Eats and Grubhub partner with specific restaurants that choose to join the service to provide a more seamless experience. Once you have selected a restaurant that you are interested in, you will be shown their menu. Popular items and dishes you've already selected before may be highlighted. Once you select an item, you may be given the opportunity to customize it. For example, if ordering a burger, you might be asked about desired toppings, side items, or if you want a bun. Once you are satisfied with your order, you check out by entering in your payment details and any other special instructions. You also have the opportunity to leave a tip directly on this screen, though you could also choose to tip cash when the driver arrives. While on the checkout screen, pay attention to the various fees that are being charged. These can easily add up and make the entire experience cost prohibitive, especially for a single user. Often, the fees will be grouped under a single item, such as delivery fees, $8.63. Selecting this item will often expand this display to show a breakdown of all of the fees that are included. Some of the charges you may see include a delivery fee for the order itself, ranging from a couple of bucks to $7.49 or more. A service fee based on the items in your cart, often a percentage of the total bill. A low order fee, typically $2 for orders under $10 before fees. A surge or busy fee in case where there is a high demand for delivery and not enough drivers, similar to surge pricing or prime time fees from Uber and Lyft. Your tip for the order, many of the other fees do not get directly passed on to the driver. As you can tell, it's quite possible for a small order to be dwarfed by lots of extra charges. I ordered a delicious-sounding Western barbecue and bacon steak burger from Steak and Shake, which was listed at $5.29. After the delivery service and low order fee, as well as a modest tip, the total was well over $15. This is one reason why I will often bounce between delivery apps, as I can often find a promotion available that will counteract some of these charges. Once your order has been placed, the anticipation from your stomach begins. Thankfully, the apps generally do a good job of keeping you updated as to the progress of your food. You will typically be informed when your food has been prepared, when your driver has been sent, and ultimately what time your food will arrive. If there is a problem with an item on the menu, an occurrence more common with DoorDash or Postmates because of outdated menus, your driver or company worker will contact you to discuss alternatives. Once you are alerted or noticed that your food is about to arrive, it's best to be outside of your building or location to meet the driver. Their goal is to deliver as many meals as possible, and meeting them at the vehicle or door will expedite this process for the driver. It's similar to locating your Uber or Lyft driver. The apps will offer a way for you to contact your driver and help you to locate the vehicle if at a location with a lot of traffic or cars pulling up. Since the entire transaction is handled on the app, there is no receipt to sign or fill out. You only need to take the food from the driver and enjoy. This would not be a complete Access World article without talking about the accessibility, or lack thereof, of the four apps. As I said earlier, I have successfully ordered a variety of items from all of these services with varying amounts of ease and frustration. Uber Eats seems to be the one service that has initially paid attention to the accessibility of their mobile apps. On the iPhone, the app makes considerable use of the custom actions in the VoiceOver Rotor. This allows you to swipe right and left or move between restaurant categories and then swipe up and down to move through items in each category. This approach is a bit unconventional when compared to using headings and other simpler forms of navigation, but it was easy to follow once I got used to it. While the Android app lacks advanced navigation options, such as headings on a restaurant menu, it too was not difficult to follow and ordering was simple, with all major buttons and controls labeled properly. While I was able to order food from the other three services, they all exhibited a variety of accessibility quirks and took some time to get used to. DoorDash includes a variety of unlabeled buttons, and it was difficult to scroll around the list of restaurants. Grubhub on Android somehow managed to actually make the names of restaurants and food items hidden to screen reader users entirely, covering them up with useless text and descriptions. Postmates on the iPhone made it really difficult to browse among restaurants, with many scrolling and navigation issues present throughout. That being said, all of these services are usable with practice, and the availability of a restaurant or a deal on a particular app may make it appealing on any given night. All of these apps also featured websites where you can place an order instead. Here, Grubhub is the easiest to follow, and you can browse through restaurants and menu items using headings on your screen reader of choice. The DoorDash website was also relatively simple to use when browsing menus and ordering. Another nice accessibility implication of these services is how they increase the availability of accessible restaurant menus. While not all menus will be 100% current or accurate, an online menu can help you figure out what types of food are available from a restaurant and the expected price range. Thanks to these and other websites, I've now been able to flip the script and be the person reading the menu to the table at a restaurant instead of a sighted friend or colleague. One area that could be improved on for all these services is the screen that shows the location of your driver. As you might expect, this is usually conveyed using a map, which is not usable for users who are blind or visually impaired. While the estimated delivery time is usually available, having a way to know where the driver is at any given time would improve the experience, especially when trying to direct them to a hard-to-find location. While delivery services can offer extreme convenience, it's worth deciding if the added cost is worth it. I could have the same sandwich shop that is 4 blocks from my house deliver my dinner, or spend 5 minutes walking each way and pick it up myself for much less money. It's easy to get into the habit of letting food delivery replace grocery shopping, going out to eat, or even leaving the house at all. This can potentially lead to both social isolation and financial stress. On the flip side, these services can help people in cities with inadequate public transportation or few easily walkable options, and may make it easier to enjoy a wider variety of restaurants. For busy professionals or families, they can give you more time to get things done or to be with loved ones. Delivery apps have expanded to towns and cities large and small and are eager for your business. This has led to an opportunity to try new restaurants and cuisines and basically get just about anything you desire brought to your door. While the accessibility of most of these services could be spiced up, these apps can still go a long way to offering an easy answer to the question of, what's for dinner tonight? We've run out of time for today's episode of Tech Tips. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast by visiting our website at triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to call us at 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.